Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the OHIO podcast, everybody. I'm your host, Buckeye Boggs. That man over there is the wild man, Chris Wilds. And tonight, Chris, we're going to do our second of 18 Big Ten previews. This one, the Indiana Hoosiers. Indiana comes in with a new head coach. Out is the old coach. In is the new. And this guy's ruffled some feathers right off the bat, Chris.
I like the old coach better, Eric. No, I really, I really like Tom Allen. I thought he was a great motivator. Unfortunately, he just couldn't get the team going the right way. Signetti comes in; he's had some great success down at James Madison, but I think he's going to find out real fast that, you know, playing in the Group of Five versus playing in really one of the two, you know, power conferences that are left is going to be two completely different things.
Yeah. So, you know, hey, as you're going to hear in our interview here in just a few minutes, he shot a shot, man. So the Indiana fans are backing him and they're pretty excited about that. But before we do that, Chris, let's do a little bit recapping of where Indiana was and a little bit of historical background from them. So Indiana last year, Chris, was a not a good record. 3-9 overall, 1-8 in their Big Ten. Their lone wins were against Indiana State and Akron. Akron being one of the worst teams in all of Division One, and they beat them by 2 points. Somehow they defeated Wisconsin 20-14 later in the season for their lone Big Ten victory. Last year, Vegas had them at 4.5 wins. You and I both said hammer the under, and we were right. Other than we both thought they would lose against Wisconsin in our preseason previews, but they did not. They did win that game, but for the most part, 3 wins does not equate to 5. Therefore, you and I won some money last year on the Hoosiers. This year they come in, like you said, with new head coach Kurt Cignetti. He obviously does not have a record at Indiana. Indiana plays in Bloomington, which is also, they have Memorial Stadium, which is, has a capacity, 52,600 and some change. Been there, not a great stadium, but it, you know, when you can take a little quick trip over to your neighboring state to watch your home team, and it feels like a home game because of how many Buckeye fans are there, well, then that kind of gives you an idea where that team is at. They have an all-time record, Chris, of 503 wins, 713 losses, 44 ties. They are 3-10 in their 13 bowl games historically, and somehow Indiana has won the Big Ten Conference 2 times in their history. Kind of a miracle they've even won it that many times, to be honest with you. Every Indiana fan is going to tell you they are a basketball school. But it was not that long ago, Chris. They gave Ohio State every bit that we could have wanted in a game. They almost came back to win, and they almost represented the Big Ten East in that COVID-shortened season for the Big Ten Championship. That was a wild ride. And, of course, since then, like you said, Tom Allen, things fell apart. He couldn't maintain that momentum that he was able to build, nor could he keep his quarterback, who ended up playing for a national championship last year for Wisconsin. And that had a lot to do with it, if you ask me.
Yeah.
Any thoughts about Indiana historically before we play our pre-recorded interview with Sammy from the Hoosier Huddle?
I just want you to think about this for a second, Eric. Indiana started playing football how many years ago, roughly? 100 years ago. Do you realize that in 5 years, Ryan Day has 11% of the number of wins that Indiana has?
Wow.
Just throwing that out there.
Well, that kind of puts things in perspective, you know? You know, it's something. Anyways, we're going to go ahead and play for you our pre-recorded interview with Sammy from the Hoosier Huddle. Had a great time talking with him. You're going to enjoy this interview. Hang tight. One. And welcome back to the OHIO podcast, everybody. And now we are joined by our special guest, Sammy Jacobs from the Hoosier Huddle, our sister podcast on the College Huddle. He, along with his co-host, TJ, I believe his name is, they run the Hoosier Huddle site. And, of course, they are the voice for Indiana on the College Huddle. Sammy, welcome to the OHIO podcast.
All right. Thank you, Eric. It's great to talk college football again, and hopefully we could stay away from that dark cloud looming over the sport and just stay on to recruiting and on-the-field stuff.
Gotcha. We will definitely do that. Now, Indiana is one of several Big Ten teams this year who have changed the direction of their program in the offseason, brand new head coach. As I was looking through the roster, my gosh, the turnover in Indiana, it's like a brand new squad, man. And so it is important to bring someone on who's going to know more about your program than I am, because as I was looking through this, I know a lot of them are James Madison guys, but I'm thinking, I don't know any of these guys anymore. All the names I did know seem to be gone, and now we have a whole new slew of Hoosiers over there in Bloomington. I'm assuming that is probably one of the big storylines this offseason. What are maybe some of the other storylines that you think Ohio State fans might be interested in?
I mean, obviously the one is the coaching change. You're going from Tom Allen, who was here for 7 years, which is like the longest coach has been here since Bill Mallory, which is crazy. And then to Kirk Cignetti, who comes in from James Madison. He did turn over the roster a lot. Like 53 new guys, and that's including the incoming recruiting class too. They had 38 guys leave through the portal. They brought in 29 guys through the portal. And so, yeah, that's new. And then there's some new stuff around Indiana football as well. They're new jerseys that don't really look new, but they're new. And then you're also – Indiana's moving the student section to the north end zone side of the stadium. Which, you know, the timing was a little off after, you know, season ticket holders picked their placements, but it should create a more cohesive student body crowd in Memorial Stadium, which would be nice.
Yeah,
so,
okay.
A lot of things. It's all new, and recruits are using this, the new Indiana. That's the storyline of the season. Is this the new Indiana?
Okay, cool. Now I've been there to Memorial Stadium. I think that's what you guys call it, correct? Memorial.
Yeah, for now it's not going to be Kellogg's, Pop Tarts, blueberry icing Memorial Stadium here in the next couple of years.
Well, we laugh because you know here in Columbus, Wendy's, the fast food restaurant, that's a Columbus thing. Donato's Pizza, that's a Columbus thing. And then White Castle's. And I'm like, I can't even imagine a White Castle logo. I mean, you can think about all the jokes about sliders and happening in Ohio Stadium. But what's the big company there in Bloomington? Like, is there a big industry that might jump on that?
In Bloomington, one of the student bars, but you know, Steak and Shake was big, but Steak and Shake kind of downsized and kind of closed a lot of stores. Oh, maybe Eli Lilly, a racing company, something like that.
Lucas Oil. Hey, I mean, they're just a little bit north, right?
Yeah. The Lucas Oil is just a little bit north of Bloomington. So there's a lot of options. I hate it. It's also tough to, you have your stadium named Memorial Stadium for all the veterans who, you know, gave all that they did in the wars to rename that. So maybe it'll be something field at Memorial Stadium.
Yeah.
So
that's what we anticipate happening as well. I mean, Safe Light, the auto glass company they've been managed to sneak their logo on the field a couple times. And of course the nets were behind the field goal posts. And so I don't know. We'll see if it becomes Safe Light Field, I think most of the Buckeye fans will riot. So I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but tell me a little bit about maybe some of the guys who you've lost, either they graduated or they left via the portal, that are going to be big for this new coaching staff to find replacements for?
I think a lot on the defensive line. You lose Philip Bleedy to the transfer portal. He ends up, forgot where he ended up, but he ended up at someplace that was pretty good. Aaron Casey graduated. He had 20 tackles for loss last year. He's in an NFL camp. And then Andre Carter, who was transferred from Western Michigan, came in, played 1 year. Those now, I use kind of, replace them through the portal with CJ West and some other guys from JMU. But the depth to have Bleedy and, Aaron Casey is here forever. So he's going to, that's a natural, move on after whatever, 6 years with the COVID year. You lose Lewis Moore, safety to Ole Miss, and you're kind of thin there, even though you bring in Asbury and some other guys from G5 schools who are all conference players at the G5 level. And I think that's something that fans are kind of leery about is, hey, we have the G5 all-star team. Can we play in the Big Ten? You bring in Curtis Rourke from Ohio, who was the MAC player, offensive player of the year in 2022. He got hurt, didn't play as well last year, but he's a veteran guy in quarterback. If you've watched any IU football over the last couple of years since Michael Penix left, even, when Penix was here, quarterback has not been a position of strength. And IU has gone through so many injuries and things at quarterback to now. All right, you have your veteran in Curtis Rourke. You have Taven Jackson, who's going to probably back him up. And he has, a couple games of starting experience. And then, if you get down to Tyler Cherry, who's a four-star freshman coming in, you're probably in trouble. But, they've done a decent job replacing. And then, of course, you lose all five starting offensive linemen from last year were in the portal. But you bring in Trey Wettig, who started some games at Wisconsin, Tyler Stevens, who started at JMU, Nick Kidwell, who's on was the Remington Award watch list, and was a starter at JMU until he got hurt. So they've filled the holes with some of these players that have been productive at the G5 level, but need to prove themselves at a Power 5 level.
Yeah, and we started our position group previews about, I guess it was a couple weeks ago now. And so we're ranking all the top 10 in every position in the Big Ten. And as I was going through the defensive line, I was surprised how good this defensive line for Indiana is going to be. Like, obviously you have the team from Ann Arbor, who we don't talk about here on our podcast, and then Ohio State.
I have a fun story about Ann Arbor for you.
Oh, bring it to me. Give it to us.
So I grew up in New York City, Manhattan, okay. Whatever. The only place I've ever been mugged is Ann Arbor, Michigan, because they had us park on the stupid golf course in November. They forgot to tell anybody, oh, hey, you have to move your car 2 hours after the game because, people are golfing on November 30th in Ann Arbor. So the tow truck driver has my car on the hook. He's like, oh, it'll be $400 to get your car off the hook. Look, I don't have that. I'm a writer and a teacher. All right, 170. I was like, here's 100. Please give me my car. So it was just one of the worst experiences of my life, and I hate that place.
So. Well, you're all right with us then, no doubt about it, man. But in looking at the position groups, you know, you got the guys from Michigan, you got the Buckeyes, and then as we were working through the groups, we came to a consensus. We believe Indiana's defensive line might be the third best in the Big Ten this year, collectively. Are we off our rocker? Is there something there? And who are some of the big names that Big Ten fans should know on this roster who are going to jump out at everybody this year?
I would say you're a little bit off your rocker.
Okay.
Just because, look, they bring back some really productive guys and some guys who have, you look at the size charts and athleticism, like Marcus Burris. And, you know, you hope he takes the next step. And you have Linnell Carr, who's played really well in this spring. You bring in James Carpenter, who, led JMU's defensive line and tackles for loss. You bring in Mikel Kamara from JMU, and he's another tackle for loss monster. And it's there. There's talent there. Is there depth is where I think maybe you're a little bit off your rocker in terms of do they have those, big bodies 2 and 3 on the depth chart to step in. And, you bring in CJ West from Toledo, and he was one of the bigger gets for them in the offseason, because in the portal that defensive tackle position was at an extreme premium. And then you just hope some of these young guys like Ladarius Collins play well. But to me, it's the depth is the issue there that's probably keeping Indiana's defensive line out of, I would say, the top three. But you're not too far off in terms of, the talent's there. Is there enough talent? So,
what about some of the other positions that Coach Signetti's, going to be utilizing that should maybe be captains or leaders of this team? Who are some of the bigger names?
Oh, man. There's a lot of guys coming in from JMU who are older guys and leaders who you think first year in the program, it's hard to make him captain. But like a guy like Aiden Fisher, who's a linebacker, he'll be a junior. He ended up starting a lot for JMU last year after the second game, had over 100 tackles for them. And he was a real vocal leader in the spring for IU. He was the guy they ran out to the media, the guy they interviewed at the sideline during the spring game. And, he's kind of Signetti's voice on the field on defense. So it could be one of those weird things. Well, he's been in Signetti's program now for 3 years. That guy would probably have been a captain or at least on the short list for captains at JMU. Curtis Rourke, obviously, 6-year senior quarterback, that screams captain, even though he's new. Donovan McCauley's been in the program a lot. Mike Kadick, offensive lineman, who's going to be switching over to center. He was a captain last year. He's coming back. You expect him to probably be a captain again. Everybody else is new, and you're probably going to have to fight. But if you had to go with those three guys, Kadick, Rourke, and Aiden Fisher, you feel pretty comfortable with them at captain.
Gotcha. So let's take a little bit look at kind of like maybe the team from a strength and weakness of point of view. If you were to, kind of put your prediction cap on, where do you think the strength of this team will be in 2024, and where does the weakness seem to be?
I think the strength, for the first time in a long time, is going to be on offense. I think the running game is going to be pretty good. You bring in three or four new running backs there. Kalon Black is really good. Elijah Green. And then you bring in Justice Ellison from Wake Forest. You totally rebuilt that running back room. You've got three guys who can run the ball and run the ball hard. The offensive line, which has been a weakness is now starting to become more of a strength with Bob Bostad there for a second year and bringing in some new players from the transfer portal. And then the wide receiver core, you bring in Elijah Surratt from JMU who had over 1,000 yards. Donovan McCulley has shown he could be a menace in the Big Ten when he plays well. You got Miles Price from Ohio who has that repertoire with Curtis Rourke, and there's a whole bunch of guys coming in through the transfer portal as well. And then EJ Williams is back. He's a guy who can make plays, a former Clemson five-star receiver. And you just need to find one or two guys who can take the top off, and your wide receiver group is pretty good. And I forgot Omar Cooper, who played pretty well down the stretch before getting injured. He's a guy who could step in, and man, you could go 8-9 deep at wide receiver. So to me, the offense is for the first time probably since 2019-2020 is a strength of IU's team, which is good. It got pretty boring trying to lean on the defense. And I think in modern day football, you can win more with a better offense, kind of covering up some things on defense, than you can having a real crappy offense and a defense who's maybe a little bit above average. So weaknesses on the team, depth. It's again, a lot of roster turnover. They're under their scholarship limit, I believe, for the year. There's been so much turnover. The count's different. I think they're sitting around 80 right now. Depth in the secondary, depth along the defensive line, and then maybe the real depth at offensive line, should there be injuries to maybe that they feel comfortable with 8 guys. So if anything beyond that, it is kind of an unknown, and we'll see. It's the Big Ten. I'm happy to get out of the East, but we still got to play you guys and that team up north. And luckily, it's not to start the season. You're going to need depth in the Big Ten to win some games.
Yeah, we've been talking a lot about that on our show about how that for us, thankfully, we Ohio State's got the depth. For our rivals up north, they might be, although they got a lot of big-name guys still, especially on the defensive side, they just don't have the depth. And I think that they could be a couple injuries away from that thing going sideways there in Ann Arbor, which, of course, I'm rooting for. Not that I want anybody to get hurt, but seeing them go sideways would definitely bring a smile to my face. Let's talk ceiling and floor this year for Indiana. I know it's kind of difficult to talk about. And as you look at the schedule, like the first part of that schedule, there's definitely some winnable games there. Florida International, Western Illinois to start the season, back-to-back at home in non-conference. Your first road game of the season and Big Ten game of the season is going out west to Los Angeles before coming back home the next week, taking on Charlotte. You get Maryland at home. That's a depleted Maryland team. And then you go on the road to play Northwestern, I guess, in a makeshift stadium by the lake. Before you get your first bye. Looking at those first 6 games.
Please let the weather be okay.
You're right. Looking at those first 6 games, I mean, what's your expectations there?
As a writer and somebody who's trying to be impartial, if you could, you need to go 3-0 in the non-conference. You're better than all 3 of those teams. And then, if you could split UCLA and Northwestern and take Maryland, I think you're happy. That means you're at 4-2. Could they go 6-0? Absolutely. UCLA has a ton of questions. They're under a first-year head coach. They bring in an offensive coordinator, Eric Bieniemy, who, outside of Patrick Holmes, really hasn't done much and got run out of Philadelphia or Washington. It was one of those East Coast teams who stunk on offense last year and lost to the Giants. It's 6-0 is not out of the question, but it is IU. And, you know, if you're going to, there's no shame in losing to UCLA on the road, but if you could split UCLA and Northwestern, and you got to beat Maryland at home, you're sitting at 4-2 going into that back half of that schedule, which has Washington, Michigan, Michigan State, Purdue, Ohio State, and Nebraska.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you could get there with four wins, then you could probably say, okay, six wins is doable. You know, we'll see what Michigan State looks like. Purdue got absolutely destroyed in the transfer portal, losing a lot of their top players. And we'll see what Washington looks like under a new head coach. And like you said, what does Michigan look like at the end of the season? You know, and that game's in Bloomington. So, you know, the floor is probably 3-9. And that would be an absolute disaster. You know, you bring in Kirk Cignetti. He's talked a lot about, you know, hey, I win, Google me. Well, you know, it's the immovable object against the unstoppable force.
Yeah.
The immovable object that is IU football would have won that battle. The ceiling is probably 8-4, maybe 9-3.
Ooh.
I'm not saying that there's a high percentage chance, but anything over six wins is gravy. Like, if you get six wins, everybody should be ecstatic in Bloomington. You're starting to build some momentum, and you're like, okay, hey, here we go. And I think outside of Bill Lynch's first year in 2007, which was, you know, a crazy year coming off the passing of Terry Heppner, like, no Indiana head coach, like, since the 40s has come in and had a winning record. And no Indiana head coach has left Indiana with a winning record. So it's Cignetti's history against IU's history. And you know, there's just so many questions in the Big Ten with new quarterbacks coming in like Rayola at Nebraska. Is Northwestern what they were last year? Did they find lightning in the bottle? I know a lot of people I've talked to didn't really like the David Braun hire. Was like, well, the guy won nine games or, you know, eight games. Can't just let him go. Is that one of those hires kind of like what Bill Lynch was at IU? You know, and then, you know, who knows what Michigan State and Purdue are looking like. And Maryland loses a lot of talent as well. You get them at home. You know, it's doable, but I would say, like, anything beyond six wins, probably give a 5% total chance at.
Okay. I got you. All right. So I'm hearing you say the ceiling would be probably more closer to eight wins, 8-4. I mean, you threw out 9-3. That's a home run, man. Like
that's you go through the roof.
Yeah. Okay. That's not the ceiling. That's landing on the roof. Gotcha. Okay. And then three's the floor. Okay. Let me ask you this.
Three's got to be the floor. Can one be the floor? Absolutely. I watched FIU. They have a nice quarterback who's going to be a sophomore. It's first game. They can lose these non-conference games. They are gimmies, but Indiana's lost some gimmies in the past. So, yeah. You know, just like the nine wins is on top of the roof, 1-2 wins is kind of like below the basement.
Gotcha. That makes sense. Now, you know what? I'm going to give Coach Cignetti some credit. I spit some thunder at him the other day when we talked about the most annoying coaches on our schedule. I mean, this guy comes out, gets the job. You referenced his Google Me comment, which kind of made everybody's eyebrows kind of raise. And then he gets handed the microphone at a basketball game. It's one thing to call out Purdue. That's your in-state rival. He went straight for the big dogs, man. Like, I'm like, okay, this guy's got some cojones, man. So Ohio State kind of went, we'll remember this one, circle that one.
I mean, what's
what were the IU fans thinking, man? Sounded like y'all loved it.
what's the worst that could happen? We lose by 50 to Ohio State. Like, that doesn't happen every other year. like what's the, it's like going up to the really attractive woman at the bar and saying, "Hey, will you get a drink with me?" And then going, "Nah." And you're like, whatever. Same as the other 99 times that I asked somebody out. Whatever, man. Shoot your shot. I loved it. I was there. It was fantastic. And it's about time. It's about time you had somebody had some confidence and some cojones. Like, you're Indiana football. Stop tiptoeing around. Like, who cares? You're getting your butt kicked anyway. And you have been getting your butt kicked for, what, the last 30 games against Ohio State. You really think that they're going to be like, man, we got to drop 100 on this team? It doesn't matter. It's just say whatever you say. Shoot your shot. And the more important thing was to get the fan base fired up than to say, if Ohio State wins 55-3 next year, it's because Kirk Cignetti said Ohio State sucks. It's like, oh, okay.
Oh gosh, you know what, I give you credit, man. You know, there's some psychology in there. You know, he's got a big backing, and after the former coach that you guys had, which I like the guy, this kind of stuff, you know,
that's been a tradition at IU forever. That wasn't just Tom Allen.
Oh really? Okay. But he came up with the LEO, didn't he
did. And so, look, I really like Tom Allen and the fit he was. His time had, just like a lot of coaches, his time had come and it has run its course. But he, you know, the way he got the job, fans didn't like, and they were already off board of not doing a national search and all that stuff. But you can't discount 2019 when he won 8 games. Probably should have beat Tennessee in the bowl game. You know, people discount 2020 because it's COVID year, but you know what? They kept score, they kept records, and look, if Ohio State had won that national title, you guys would have counted it, right?
Oh yeah, of course.
Yeah. So unless you lose, I guess that year counted. But then, you know, I think maybe he got out over his skis in terms of organization and things like that, especially when NIL came in and there's not much funding for IU under him, which Kirk Cignetti has turned around but yeah, it was time for Tom Allen to go, but you know, he was, what he did at IU was, you know, he had some special years. He ran out of gas, but he had some special years.
So what is Sammy's expectations of Indiana football in 2024.
Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health, or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
I think they could go 6-6. I think that's the expectation. Is, you know, Vegas set it at 5.5. I think I've seen that as all the over under win totals across all the books is 5.5. And I think that's a pretty good number. And you sit at 6, you get those 3 non-conference games, you split Northwestern and UCLA, that's 4. You beat Northwestern, you beat Purdue. That's basically you win 2 out of 3 against Michigan State, Maryland, and Purdue. 2 of those 3 are at home, and you're sitting at 6. And that's the formula. And that should be the formula for IU, is soft non-conference schedule, and then find a way to win 3 games in the Big Ten and build from there. And we'll talk about recruiting here, you know, later on, but you got to start building some momentum and stacking seasons. A lot of people talked about like program changing wins. There's no program changing wins at IU. It's program changing seasons. You know, how many seasons back, and you thought Tom Allen had it with 2019 and 2020, and it just went off the rails in 2021. And that's what it is. You know, they beat Missouri under Kevin Wilson, 2014, everybody said, oh, that was a program-changing win. Well, they went 4-8 that year, and were lucky to beat a terrible Purdue team. Sudfeld got hurt and all that stuff. But the next year, you know, you go 6-6. 2016, you go 6-6. Was that a program-changing win? Not really. You beat Penn State. You beat Michigan in the COVID year. It was a momentum-changing win, but all that went out. It could go out the window in a game like it did against Iowa that has taken seasons to build up.
Gotcha. Hey, Sammy, tell everybody where they can find the Hoosier Huddle, man.
You can find us on the internet at HoosierHuddle.com, on X, formerly known as Twitter, @Hoosier_Huddle. And then on YouTube as well at YouTube.com/Hoosier Huddle as well. And then our podcast is also on all the Spotify, Apple Music, you know, whatever other podcast hosts are out there. We're on there as well.
Awesome. Go check out their website. They have a really nice website, and they are really good writers. And so we'll be doing more collaborations with them, obviously, as we get into the season. You'll see them if you follow any of the other College Huddle podcasts, including theirs. By the way, go over, check them out. Give them a like, subscribe to their YouTube channel. All that stuff really does help all of us out. And when you click on their articles, man, it helps them out as well. So please do that as well. Sammy, thank you so much, man.
Yeah, thanks, Eric. Anytime talking to IU football, especially in the summer with the season coming up.
There you go. Good luck this season, man.
All right, thanks.
And we appreciate Sammy joining us from the Hoosier Huddle. Make sure you guys go out and check their website. We'll have him back on again, I'm sure, next time, either next year or back when we play Indiana. So make sure that you guys go and give them a couple clicks on their website, check out their articles, and we try to post those as well over on the College Huddle website. So go over to thecollegehuddle.com as well, and you can find links for Indiana there and their website as well as some articles about the Hoosiers. All right, Chris. So let's go ahead and let's look at their roster, if you don't mind, a little bit. Now, here's the thing about this roster that you're going to discover, Chris, and as Sammy so well put it during our interview, this is a team that, for the most part, has been reconstructed, completely redone. And we're about to find out in real time if a group of 5 all-star team can compete at a Power 4 level. That's what we're going to find out this year with the Indiana Hoosiers. So I find that incredibly interesting.
What do you think?
I think this is a team that, and when we get into the roster, I think, you know, we'll delve into this a little bit more, but I think that defensively they're going to have some bright spots. I think they got a very good defensive line. I think offensively they're in a lot of trouble. I think this is a team that has three new starters on the offensive line, Eric, and you and I saw firsthand, it doesn't matter how good the athlete is, an offensive line needs time to gel.
Well, they're banking on the fact that they didn't have a good offensive line to start with. And so maybe who they've brought in can gel for them.
What they have had, Eric, is mobile quarterbacks, which is what they don't have right now.
Yeah. Let's take a look at the roster here real fast. We're going to go ahead and share our screen with you all. This is the Our Lads predictions, if you will, for the Indiana Hoosiers this year. Yep. So looking at quarterback, you got Curtis Rourke from Ohio. This is someone who we are familiar with if you follow the MAC here in the Buckeye State. He's going over to Indiana. And then look at all of these transfers on offense. Two at wide receiver. You have three on the offensive line, a tight end, a quarterback, a running back. I'm not saying these guys aren't good. Some of them are very, very good. But you have to wonder and you have to ask yourself, Chris, can they, in the short amount of time that they've all come gathered together and learned this offense, being a part of it. Now, some of them already know the offense because, you know, they played at JMU. But you have to ask yourself, is this a sustainable thing for them this season?
I can't see it being sustainable, Eric, and this is the reason why. Yeah, I mean, some of these guys played at a very high level in the group of five. But it's a different beast when you're playing against Big Ten quality opponents. You don't find the kind of defensive linemen that you have at Ohio State and Michigan down in the group of five. You just don't. You don't find the defensive back quality you have at Ohio State. And again, I'll say Michigan, even though they're not deep at defensive back, they've got a couple of real good ones. You don't see that kind of quality in the group of five. It's not there. And I think they do have a very good tight end. I like Zach Horton a lot. I think he's a great tight end. But I just don't see this team being able to put up points at a consistent level against quality defenses here in the conference.
No, I think you're right. This team is going to struggle offensively. Let's just call it like it is. Let's just be honest.
Yeah.
They're going to struggle to put up points, I think. This is almost, in a lot of ways, the polar opposite of the first team we previewed in Illinois. I think Illinois is going to score almost at will. I mean, they're going to have a really good offense.
They're going to have a good offense.
They're going to struggle to stop people. The question is, can they score enough to make up for their bad defense? Here's the exact opposite. Can the defense stop enough to make up for their poor offense? That's how I feel Indiana is this year. Now, looking at their defense here real fast, Chris, unlike their offense that is going to have eight transfers starting, the defense only has seven, Chris. So
only seven. 15 out of 22 transfer guys. You got to like that.
Yeah.
Well, and that doesn't count the place kicker.
Right. Now, you and I have talked a lot about this defensive line already. Yes. We like it. CJ West, James Carpenter. I think Carpenter's a stud.
Yeah.
Kamara's a name that a lot of people are talking about. And then you've got, of course, Carr Jr., you know, someone who's been there for a while at Indiana, at least a couple of seasons now. He was a transfer himself, but now he's been at Indiana for a couple of years. And you know what? There is – Pro Football Focus is really high on D'Angelo Pons and Jamari Sharp, the cornerbacks. They think they are two of the better cornerbacks in the country, just straight up statistically and what they've done in the past. We'll see if Pons can take what he did at a smaller school, smaller level, and if that'll translate to the Big Ten, like you said. Sharp is probably the best returning player on this team for Indiana, in my opinion. The linebackers are going to be, that's what's questionable here. So if you look at just take a snapshot of that defense, it's going to be a pretty good defense. It's not, it's not bad. But is it going to be good enough to stop teams in the Big Ten? I don't know.
I'm not real sold on it. I think that they do have some big point, but you know what, Eric? It's going to all start up front. That's the whole thing. But here's the other thing about that.
Here's what's crazy. You haven't heard the interview yet. No. I asked Sammy, I said, are we crazy for thinking Indiana is the third best defensive line in the Big Ten? And he said, yeah, you're crazy. He's like, I would pull the reins back a little bit on that. So even though we might be a little higher on their defensive line than the guy who's actually covering the football team is.
Yeah. Now, and I'll tell you, as far as the linebackers go, I do like Aiden Fisher, the transfer from James Madison. Kid's solid, but again, he was solid at that level.
Yeah.
And I don't know if when he gets to the I think what's going to affect a lot of these guys who were at James Madison may be that I just think that the game moves at a whole nother speed at this level.
This is going to be an amazing study.
Yeah.
So, like, if I were a coach at a G5 school that did really well, and I get the opportunity to go to a big boy in the SEC Big Ten, and who's going to have an NIL collective backing me. Do I go to the transfer portal and try to pluck the best players from the G5 and make a G5 all-star team to compete at a P4 school? That is essentially what we have going on here. Now, when I say G5 all-star team, this is not the best G5 player from every, what I'm saying. It's
a lot of his kids from JMU.
It is, and a few others. But my point is someone's going to be watching this and is going to say, I can win right away by doing this thing right here. I don't know. We're going to find out. To me, it's an incredibly interesting case study.
Yeah, I agree. But this is the thing too, Eric. I think, and you keep talking about going up against a P4 school, can I just say that I do think that Indiana, if they were in the Big 12 or even the ACC, might be a 500 team?
I would say that's an absolutely fair statement, yes.
In the SEC and in the Big 10, they're going to be lucky to catch a conference win.
It's going to be difficult for them.
We have UCLA, which is a basketball school. They've got Vanderbilt, which is a baseball school. Those would be the opportunities that they'd have, I think, for their conference wins, this season.
Yes. The other thing is, on the flip side of that, if they were to go to the MAC, would they be MAC champions?
I would say arguably, yes.
Yeah, I think so. Gosh, that would be incredible.
But Toledo might have something to say about that.
Right. I know. Yeah, Toledo's
no joke.
And Ohio wasn't bad either, but now they got their quarterback. So, all right, let's take a look at their schedule here real fast, guys. And as I pull that screen up for us, here is what Indiana is looking at this year. Florida International and Western Illinois to start the year at home before they go on the road out west and play at that basketball school you're talking about, Chris, in UCLA. Come back home to play Charlotte, and then their second Big Ten game is Maryland, and then they go back on the road at Northwestern before they have their first bye. Now, things are going to get a lot more harder from there for them, but those first six games, they have got to make bank in those first six games on this schedule. They absolutely have to. There's no way around it. How many games do you see them potentially being able to win? Let me say this. How many W's do you see, and how many games do you think might be coin flips?
I think they've got four wins. I think their first four wins, I think they start off 4-0, which is going to get a lot of people excited. But then if I'm looking at it legitimately, I don't know that I actually see a win from that point. Opportunities, depending, you know, Northwestern lost a lot. So there might be some potential there. To maybe shock them on the road. The only other chance I see it really getting a win would be depending on how Purdue plays at the end of the season.
Okay. So if I hear you right, you're saying they win their first four and lose their next two.
Yes.
Okay. I have the same win-loss record for you, but I have a different win and loss. I have them losing to UCLA. Out of Maryland and Northwestern, who do you think I chose for them to beat?
Maryland.
You doggone Skippy, you're right.
Because it's at home.
It's at home. You nailed it. And I don't think Maryland's very good this year.
I don't either.
So I think that the travel west to UCLA to play in the Rose Bowl, they're going to be starry-eyed. First time they've been there, and gosh, who knows how long. It might be 40 years or more. And I think UCLA gets that dub. Playing at Northwestern in their makeshift stadium on the lake in the wind, first game in October, that's probably a Northwestern victory. Then they have the bye. Then I think they get shellacked the next four games. Nebraska's going to crush them at home. Washington's going to beat them at home. They go on the road to Michigan State. If they would have played Michigan State at home, maybe, but not in East Lansing. They're going to lose that one. Of course, I think the Loserines are going to beat them as well.
Yeah, and then, you know, they get that second bye just to recover just a little bit before Ohio State really smacks them around.
Can you imagine? I mean, I don't know what kind of mood Sammy's going to be in that week, but we'll have him on for the preview. We'll see where they're at.
Well, here's the thing. Let me tell you. Cignetti went out there running his mouth right at the start of the season, or right before the season even started, rather.
Yep.
Yeah, came out there running his mouth. Basically has called out Michigan and Ohio State for all intents and purposes. That guy's got a back-to-back butt-whooping coming. Even if Michigan's not that good, I think they're going to lay it to him.
Yeah. Yeah, they're gonna lay some wood to him. I agree. All right, we both know they're going to lose on the 23rd. And then they finish the year at home in their rival game against Purdue. I have them losing.
I do too, Eric, but you know what? This is the thing. If they somehow, let's say they take down UCLA and either Maryland or Northwestern, and they're going in for bowl eligibility in that last game versus Purdue at home, I'm going to say don't write them off.
Okay. You and I both have them going 4-8, 1-8 in the Big Ten. JR's got them going 5-7. So just under their 5.5, that over-under that Vegas says they're going to be at. Would you like to take a stab at which two games JR chose as Indiana's wins for 2024?
Purdue.
I'll give you a hint. They are two that you and I did not pick.
Purdue.
You got one.
Michigan State.
No. Washington. He has them beating Washington. Interesting that between you, myself, and JR, we see this team winning four Big Ten games. The possibility of winning four Big Ten games. If they win their three non-conference and they're able to find a way to win three out of those four that you, myself, and JR say there's a chance of them winning, Chris, this team's going bowling with six wins.
You know, Eric,
I'm
not going to say it's completely out of the realm of possibility.
It's not.
I don't see it. However, like I said, if they can manage, I firmly believe that UCLA is in such disarray right now, even though they've got to make that trip cross country, I think that is a viable candidate for a win. I could see them possibly getting one of the teams, either Maryland or Northwestern. And like I said, if they go in and they have 5 wins for that last game of the season, I could see them beating Purdue.
Ooh, I don't know if Dylan's going to like hearing that, my man.
Well, I know Dylan's not going to like hearing it, but you know what? He's got one of those great OHIO podcast mugs.
Yes, that he does.
Catch all his tears in.
There you go. So there you have it, guys. That's our prediction, and that is our preview for the Indiana Hoosiers for 2024. Chris, very similar to Illinois. You and I are not as high on them as we are Illinois, but there is, again, Vegas says 5.5. Vegas says they are right on the border of being a playoff or a bowl team, bowl eligible team in Cignetti's first year. He goes 6-6. That is a huge win. That is something that even Sammy said the fan base will rally behind. If he can manage to find a way to get 6 wins, this is going to be a huge year for them over in Bloomington.
I think the big difference is the schedule makers were a lot kinder to Illinois than they were to Indiana.
Agreed. Agreed. Like, share, subscribe. It really does help the channel. We really do appreciate it. If you are an Indiana fan and you found our channel, thank you for watching. Please give us a thumbs up. We want you to go check out the Hoosier Huddle. You can find them by going over to our College Huddle website, thecollegehuddle.com. Go over to the Big Ten, scroll down to Indiana. You'll find the Hoosier Huddle. Click on that. You'll find all the links for all their social media, the website. They have a great website. Chris, you know who else has got a great website?
Us.
That's us. The OHIOpodcast.com website, where you can find a store, merch, links, social media links, stories, etc. Everything you could possibly want. Roster, schedules, it's all there.
We're the originators, man. Often imitated, never duplicated.
Yeah.
You know? The
styling and profiling, too.
Styling and profiling. As only awesome. We can do.
Awesome, guys. Hey, thanks so much for watching. Next up, Michigan State, another new head coach in the Big Ten, and a team that I think might be going to surprise some people this year. It can't get any worse, right? It can't. Cannot get any worse. Till next time, guys, be kind to one another. I owe someone's OH. Sing Carmen Ohio with all your heart. Chris, OH.
I owe.
Go Bucks.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.